Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I am so tickled that you punched 88.1 FM on your radio dial or on your laptop or on your computer, and you are listening to Faith in Action. It's a program that's produced here in Sioux City. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm your host for the show. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member. And again, I am so delighted that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to listen to our show. And Faith in Action is really the focus of our program for today. And we just recently, on November 11th, celebrated Veterans Day. And, right, Anne is nodding right. And what an opportunity for all of us to thank our servicemen and servicewomen for giving of themselves to make sure that we are all safe. And what we have for today's program is a couple of veterans who have the most unusual story to share with you. And so I want to welcome my guests. In the studio is longtime friend and former parishioner at the same church I went to, Don Stevens. Don, welcome.
Thank you, Joanne. It's good to be here.
It's good to be anywhere, isn't it?
Oh, especially with you.
Especially. And then on the phone with me is Frank Moss. And he, too, is a Sioux City guy. And he is part of this unbelievable story that Don and Frank share. So, Frank, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Welcome. Nice to meet you.
You too. So, Don, start out and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and where you grew up and all that good stuff that I pretty much know, but the listeners don't.
Well, as Joanne said, we share a history together because we both are a part of the old St. Francis School area. My dad was in the military, and he trained here in Sioux City, and that's where he met my mother. And Dad was from Chicago. When I was born in Chicago. We lived there for a couple years, then we came back here to Sioux City. I grew up in Sioux City, went to St. Francis grade school. I think there was 100 of us in the whole school. Three nuns taught all of the grades. From there, I went to Bishop Heelan Catholic High School in the 60s, and then on to St. Mary's University in Winona, Minnesota, a Christian Brothers school, and really a great institution. That institution developed a lot of doctors, a lot of scientists, military people came out of there to lead the military, and me. I don't know how I got caught in that group, but that's where I ended up. And then from St. Mary's, I ended up being drafted. Well, I was going to be drafted, and then joined the Army under the college option, which meant that I would only have to serve 2 years, and I went into officer school. I went into artillery officer school and then moved to intelligence in the military and then went to Fort Huachuca, Arizona. I was at Fort Dix for my basic training, Fort Sill, Oklahoma for artillery training with artillery, and then moved to Fort Huachuca, Arizona with intelligence, and from there I went to Vietnam. And that's pretty much where I got started, and I think it was at that opportunity while in Vietnam, during the course of the year, I was there for a full year, and in April of 1970, we were located at a fire base, an artillery base located way up north in Vietnam on the North Vietnamese-South Vietnamese border, a place called Fire Base Nancy. It was north of the Aishaw Valley, and we had artillery pieces that were, they called them 8-inch guns and 175-millimeter recoilless cannons. And the size of these cannons were immense, and what they could do, for example, is I could go out and find a location we wanted to call in artillery fire through the use of computers back then, and I could call in artillery, and these weapons would shoot 25 miles, so I could pretty much go up to Lamar's right now, put an X on the ground, and fire an artillery piece from Sioux City and hit any place in Lamar's. That would be like the extent of what we would do. And these guns were so devastating, and they created so much problems for the North Vietnamese that we were constantly either being bombed or they were trying to overrun our base. By overrun the base, that mean actually take over the entire base. And in April of 1970, the latter part of April, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, we heard all kinds of commotion and their rockets being sent in. And in fact, the enemy did get into the base camp. And in an attempt to save all of the people that were on that base camp, firefights broke out. And I was wounded a couple times in Vietnam, in that area at that fire base. And we eventually fought off the enemy in that camp, losing many soldiers at that fire base. And I was evacuated to the 95th Evacuation Hospital in Da Nang. I had my eardrums blown out. I had nerve damage in my ears. I had other wounds that I had suffered. But they were taking care of me at the 95th Evacuation Hospital. Back then, the opportunity to get the word home was more difficult than what was happening. And the American Red Cross did let my mother know that I had been wounded, but that's about all she knew, because I couldn't pick up a phone and call. And once you were in the hospital, you're pretty much staged in that hospital. So the communication was at a, should I say, a state of non-existence at that time. So being healing in the hospital, Mom wanted to find out, how was I? How serious were the wounds? And with that, I think I'd turn it over to Frank.
Yeah, Frank, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, because your path crosses with Don in kind of an unusual way. So,
exactly. Yeah, my wife, Darlene, after we were married, she worked Travelers Insurance, and that's where Don's mother, Irene, worked. And they were both claim processors for Travelers Insurance. And I happened to be in Da Nang at the same time Don was there in the hospital. And Irene had asked my wife, Darlene, if it would be possible for me to see if I could get any information on Don. And I knew he was at the 95th Evac Hospital. I found that out, which was like 6 miles from where my base station was. I was with the 212th Combat Aviation Battalion. So I asked the captain if I could run down to the hospital and see a guy from Sioux City, my hometown. I graduated from East High in 1966, and then I went to USC for a couple of years, and then it was $1,500 a year to go to college then. So anyway, I decided, well, maybe join the service, go to school on the GI Bill, and see what happens after that. And like Don said, you know, I'd have ended up in Vietnam after that. So, and I was drafted, and then I enlisted, and then I got some schooling out of it. And had basic training at Fort Lewis, Washington, then Fort Lee, Virginia. And then I ended up getting stationed in Da Nang in Vietnam, and that's where I found out where Don was in April, like I said. So I drove the truck or Jeep down to the hospital and saw Don, and as he said, communication at that time was, you could find things out, but it, you know, just the regular mail was like a week away, 7 to 10 days, if everything went well. And so I was able to see Don and get some information and see that he was doing okay. So then I wrote my wife, Darlene, and sent her letters and stuff. And of course, 7 days later, then found out that he was doing okay, but that was it. And so anyway, Irene was real happy about all that, as we all were. So anyway, and then I went back to my base station, spent another 6 months there, and stationed at the 212th Aviation Battalion in Da Nang there. And then Don went on his way up to Fire Base Nancy after that was done. And then we knew each other, or knew about each other, but not that much, because we have several mutual friends, and just things would happen where we'd, I saw Don Stevens or whatever, but just neither one of us really associated it with what happened to us in Vietnam. Just didn't strike a bell. This was a different type of thing. So anyway, then 51 years later, we're at rehab and talking about in doing our therapy together, and we knew some people. I worked at Terra for quite some time, and of course, Don was postmaster here, and we knew several people the same, and so we just kind of started talking one morning about it, and I said, good grief, you're Don Stevens from Allwells years ago, and that's what it was. So anyway, it was just kind of strange how all that happened. But
yes, very strange and very kind of what I would call a God moment. And we have to take a moment right now because we take breaks during our show to give a shout out to our underwriters and do some public service announcements. And listeners, you want to stay tuned because this story, and Frank hinted at it a bit as how these two individuals connected 50-some years later, is just absolutely remarkable. So this is Faith in Action, and why don't you stay tuned because we're going to be right back.